Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Kyle Stolik here, head of community at Robot Cash, the first platform that lets you buy, sell, and earn digital games. It is 5/2/2024, but if you're listening to this, the day and second it came out, it is 5/3/2024. I think. Should be. Unless it got lost in the internet and you're listening to this 100 years from now, and you're one of those special people. How are you doing? We were very primitive back then. We didn't fly. We didn't have genetically enhanced wings that allowed us to fly, which you have in the future right now. Okay, I'm done. I was wondering where that was going, and I thought I could maybe mine it for something, and I didn't. And I'm pulling the ripcord on that joke. They're not always bangers, everybody. It's Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I know we say that, and I used to always think that it was a stupid thing to say, and then I got into corporate life or any kind of like job, and then you're like, Happy Friday, because it's all about what's going to happen over the weekend, right? Are you heading into the weekend with a little bit of excitement, with a skip in your step? Do you have any big plans, or are you going to have no plans? I just read an article that was about how everybody needs at least one day of week of like doing nothing for their mental health. Like data or a study shows this. And I'm sure the people out there that are working 7 days a week, supporting lots of people, I'm sure they all would love to live in that fantasy, right? On to happier things, though. There's so many games coming out. When I see people commenting... Okay, let me step it back. I was going to talk about this, and I don't know if I should. Also, I want to say, before we go any further, the Discord Pac-Man, I hear you, I see you. Just want to say thanks for being yourself, and thanks for saying what you want to say. And if anybody is a community investor in this, please... reach out at investors@robotcash.com. That's always the best way to get any investor-related information. When it comes to anything else, that's me. But in terms of, you know, if you want updates on certain things that you're asking about, that's the place to go. I legally cannot say anything. So there you go. All right. So does anyone else hate when people say it's living rent-free in your mind? Like, no matter who it's from or who it's to, it's just kind of one of those, like, regurgitated responses now that kind of invalidates a lot of someone's opinion or perspective or anything like that. Oh, they just live rent-free in your mind. what do you even say to that anymore? I've been seeing it thrown around a lot in various groups and in various different ways. And, how exhausting. How exhausting to live that life. But what is living rent-free in your mind? welcome to the Old Man Yells at Cloud and Chimes podcast. I've heard it. Like, okay, let me step back. The chimes are rewiring my brain and my speech patterns. I looked back a little bit at the podcast where I was listening to it, and I swear I could hear the chimes in the background, but I don't know if these chimes are haunting me. Kyle, why don't you take the chimes down? Because my wife likes them, okay? When you're married, it's all about compromise, okay? I don't take the chimes down or make a fuss about the chimes to her, and who knows? There's probably 10 more things that she doesn't make a fuss about with me, so I'm going to say... I'm the victor here. I come out better because she's kinder and more patient. All right, so it's been lots of news in the video game industry right now. There's so many like controversial topics, and they don't even have to be controversial. If people just sat around and focused on what we all like, which is great games, right? Great games and people that have jobs and the time to play them. Like, can we just... everything in life, just focus on those, and we'll get like really great solutions to big problems. Yeah, that's it. Gamers save the world. There we go. Okay, that's the positive news. There we go. We are on good footing here. Here we go. Ready? Okay. This isn't an article really, but it's a question proposed by a website called Time Extension, and it says, All right. I'm going to. OG millennials, pull up a chair. Okay. Come closer to me on this one. Gen Z, like, I don't want you to feel left out, but this is kind of our from our era. All right. So, millennials, I'm looking at you. Remember Mad Cats? Remember those controllers? How do you feel about them? Well, this says, did Mad Cats really create the worst video game controllers ever? And I'm not going to go into the article. I just like the question. Not the worst ever, right, millennials? Huh? Like, most of the time, they were not as good as the first party ones. We understand that. But come on. We all went to that person's house, or maybe you were that person that had one or two of those really low-end controllers, the ones that are discounted, or like someone is in a budget for something, you know, agreed upon budget, and they say they're going to get someone else something. Maybe they're not a gamer, and they're like, oh, that controller is $10 on sale. That person's my recipient is a gamer. They'll like that. Who doesn't need more controllers, right? And then that person gets it. And I can't remember some of the names of them, but we had one time that my brother and I were sold on as being a good Super NES controller because it was like twice as wide. And we thought that was really cool, this big ugly thing. And then the buttons were colored slightly different. So we're like, all right. So I next time I go home, I'll find out what that was, or I can probably Google and find it. But that's not as fun as just sitting here talking about it, right? All right. So what was it for you? Anything? Or you're just perfect. You just had all the first-party controllers, and your beautiful hands never touched that third-party awful. Okay, well, you're better than everybody else. Moving on, it says, Microsoft Nintendo lawsuit claims companies get users addicted to boost profits. Again, I'm not going to go into the lawsuit. We've been talking about how this is a thing that's happening right now with various lawsuits. People design games to create stickiness. That's a shocker. I don't think there's any question that there are some bad actors in this game industry who its sole goal is to get you addicted to be on these games and to spend more money. I'm not going to say it's one of the companies mentioned, but I'll say I think we can all agree, right? In any industry, there's always those bad actors that take things too far. Sorry, tea Earl Grey hot. More like lukewarm. There's always those bad actors. And so if that is happening, and if there's any information that's proven, I hope that the industry can change so that these bad actors can't perform that way, right? We're all in here for the health of the video game industry. It's why I joined this company. Whew. So here we go. Moving on to another one. I'm really trying not to be like old man yells at cloud, okay? I'm sorry. There's just some things that man has to speak up about. It's end of the week, getting a little bit loony. I'm not going to read this one either. See how I did this? I front-loaded all these that are like not actually reading anything. It says, satisfying frustration, how to make compelling games that encourage moral reflection. This is at gamedeveloper.com, and it says, to inspire moral reflection, we as game designers have to go against players' inherent instinct to make strategic decisions and break a few fundamental game design principles along the way. Interesting opinion piece. I don't necessarily agree or disagree with all of it. I'm not that smart, especially when it comes to this stuff that I actually don't know anything about. pause for humor. But it's an interesting article about the potential of moral reflection and deeper meaning behind games with deeper, I don't want to say personality altering aspects of it, but we do have to understand that media has long been used to shape opinions, as it were. So moral reflection of yourself, I support. This is one of those scary things, like what if video games were really used for nefarious things? I'm not tinfoil hat conspiracy theory anything right now, but I'm just saying, if we're having conversations like that, and media has in the past. Whew. Anyway, moving on. Kyle, it's Friday. Yeah, I know. Oh man, I get my new camera in tomorrow. I'll probably have it in my hands by the time you're listening to this. I'm so excited. I'm gonna be doing some video content here, and yeah, finally, I bit the bullet on like a dream camera. So that's more personal than business and gaming related. Sorry, you don't care about the host. Who cares about the host? Not me, says the listener to Kyle today, because he's negative. Okay, it says, Quebec's video game industry isn't unionized. This labor group wants to change that. And I'm sorry for laughing, mainly because it's another Debbie Downer one on Friday. I did work in Montreal for a couple years, and it's interesting always to see how the people feel empowered over there. There were lots of school protests because they were raising tuition prices. There's lots of protests happening there still about a lot of things that we're seeing in the U.S. Lots of chatter about the way expenses are outlined for the schools. And so it seems very on par or very on brand with Quebec and that area to be unionizing like this. There are a lot of game developers and game publishers up there as well. I think it's one of the biggest communities in the world for that. So, good luck to them. I don't want to say, you know, this is a business podcast. I can't say whether or not, you know, we're for or against that success. When I laugh like that, it's me toeing the line the best I can. I hope the people, as always, get what they need and consumers benefit, right? Is that good? Did I toe the company line? Here's another one. I think this is a positive. Some of you may not. This might be another Debbie Downer, but when I saw this, I was inspired. So it says Deus Ex creator Warren Spector has, quote, literally dumpster dived to help with game preservation. He wrote this really big article in response to one of the articles we talked about, I think, last week about game preservation and what a lot of people suggested should happen, which didn't, was if it's up to the publisher or publisher, developer, content creator to decide if these games should remain accessible in some aspects of it. Some people were suggesting, can they just still be preserved at like a library? And the only way to experience that product maybe is either by checking it out or by just playing it at the library or seeing it somehow. And that was shot down. And Warren Spector, you know, one of the great industry luminaries of all time, wrote this big response to it, and it was very thorough and lovely to read by a very lovely and intelligent person. I think we mentioned him recently too. I'll just read a little bit of this article, but this is the kind of summary that Rock Paper Shotgun wrote up, and it says, to address this issue, everything I was talking about, Spector has set up an archive at the Dolph Briscoe Center for American History. He's donated all materials associated with his gameography to the center, as have other developers, including Richard Garriott. I've also literally dumpster dived to retrieve information other developers have simply thrown away, believing it to be worthless. The material is also in the center. Spectre goes on to link a list of other organization aiding efforts with their own archives. Yeah, and it's a lot of that. I am very grateful that people are fighting this fight right now. I don't want a piece of our history lost to us forever. There are pieces of the film and music industry that we'll never get to see or experience ever again. You know, either for its quality or for its cultural importance and whatever definition that may be at the time or the topic. But there is definitely a need for us to preserve our history in many reasons. I'm not going to get on a soapbox as to why that's important in an all-encompassing importance to humanity type of thing, but come on, man, let's just preserve our games. Can we all agree on that? Great games, let's preserve them, let's treat people nicely. All right, we're going to start to get a little looser into all this as we kind of go down the last few articles. This one is, there's a reason why sex games are everywhere these days. It says, game producer Jesse Cox took a look at the history of adult games and why they're so popular. Excuse me, I'm a child. It outlines everything. It goes from like weird things like, I think it's called Custer's Revenge, which is a horrible, literally rape like game that was created for Atari Assault, if you will. And Leisure Suit Larry to where we are now, the legislation that's happened, different audiences that have been interested. Check this video out. I actually didn't know of the creator, Jesse Cox, or any of their content, but I thought this was a very well done video that puts a serious but fun eye towards a part of this industry that certain, how can we say this, countries and audiences seem to see with shame, whereas others are embracing it a bit more liberally. How about that? And also how it manifests into some mainstream games and whatnot. If you browse a lot of game shops, you've probably seen this rise of naughty games. So, you know what? Here is the angle for this one. Why you can read this and watch the video and justify your actions. Good conversation starter. It can be something you talk to people about. Did you know that like games about sex are really growing in the gaming industry? Who isn't going to want to be interested in something like that? You can talk to a random person at the bar, maybe the old woman in the grocery line in front of you, maybe your dog, maybe people online that have the exact opposite opinions on everything as you, but you can just tell them that. You can create some conversational inroads to a middle ground of basic understanding of each other by your united interest in the rise of sex games of video games, or sex in video games. There it is. Healing, nature is healing because of me. You're welcome, everybody. Let's see. I'm not going to talk about that one. I was going to, but not going to talk about it now. Oh, this one. This is a website called Creative Block. I actually didn't know about this website. It says, how to use Blender and ChatGPT to level up your video game assets. It says, Mihai Dobrin explains how he upgraded the assets for hit game video game Total War Pharaoh. And just seeing how AI is being incorporated into this, it's fascinating, right? I know that's a very dirty word, but I'm hoping that our history on this podcast has shown that there are people in this industry, myself included, that are hopeful that we can use this responsibly and not take away from any craft or, you know, anything like that. So fingers crossed, everyone, right? All right. Finally. Oh, yeah. Apparently, quick one here. D&D makers are spending $1 billion on their own video games, promising they'll be quality and authentic like Baldur's Gate 3. Good luck to them. And yeah, there you go. I don't want to go into it any further than that. And also, LinkedIn is apparently getting games now, because why not? Everybody is, right? And then the EA Sports college football game is coming out, or is out. I don't play sports ball games very often. I know Top Spin is out. I was hoping to buy that. If anyone wants to play me, please let me know. I always love versus games, like one-on-one. But yeah, EA Sports college football, we've been covering that one a lot on this podcast, just talking about the news and what people are getting paid. In terms of the biggest games of March, let's go into the top 10 really quick on that one. Month over month, there was a 4% increase in total revenue. In DLC content, there was a 9% increase. So that includes like MTX, cloud, mobile. A minus 32% drop in video game hardware. And then video game accessories went up 9%. So the top games of March 2024 are Dragon's Dogma 2, Helldivers 2, MLB The Show, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. At number 5, we got a new entry here, Rise of Ronin. After that, Princess Peach Showtime, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Unicorn Overlord, 2K24, and then Hogwarts Legacy is still in the top 10, at number 10. Wow, that one made a lot of money. It was a top-selling game of last year, if anyone remembers. Oh, we do, Kyle, we remember everything. Okay, did you anyone else see the movie Marcel with the Marcel the Shell with shoes on? Because I didn't. I wanted to. It's in my queue, like so many other things. There's a headline. It says, Marcel the Shell with shoes on, producer Cinereach launches video game design competition with $10,000 prize. It says, media incubator, Marcel the Shell with shoes on. I have to keep saying that. And Beasts of the Southern Wild producer and media incubator Cinereach has launched a climate-themed video game design competition. Kicking off Monday, Just Play, a game jam for climate, Climate Futures, carries a grand prize of $10,000 and is designed to challenge game makers, artists, and developers to explore a broader range of climate features that will inspire new perspectives, per the contest description. Submissions open Monday at justplayjam.com and run through May 17th. Participants will receive a Cinereach toolkit that includes findings from its recent climate visibility workshop with Good Energy. Final prototypes and award winners will be showcased at the Hollywood Climate Summit's closing night party on June 28th. So yeah, it's cool that they're doing that. Games for Change, everybody. It's always been like a really boring game category. I've always loved watching it and watching all the brilliant things, but it's really depressing. I think I've mentioned this in the podcast, but one that really stuck with me and it resonated. It wasn't so much as a game as a teaching tool. It was like a terrorist killing simulator, like really on the nose like that. And you had to kill people that were labeled as terrorists. And it was like a marketplace type thing in the Middle East. And your only weapon was to like click on the screen and drop a bomb in that part. And there would always be innocent civilians that would die as well. And so the point was is that every time you did that, you would create more terrorists. And it was it's a game where you can't win. And the only way to win is by not playing, kind of. So yeah, it stuck with me over the years by how just quickly it demonstrated an idea and the power of that idea. But, you know, it's hard to get a lot of people to sit down and do that. So I'm happy that other people are exploring these opportunities to make big changes in this world, right? Through games. And hopefully we'll see that continually happen and not used for nefarious means. That is your positive goodbye. It's that there is a possibility for a better world and we're all responsible and we can do it through games, right? Who's with me? Okay, I'm out. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye.